From the shadows of the radio towers, this is the Gay PHX Podcast. Your community radio on demand.
It's gonna be a good day. And everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
All right, Phoenix, it's Billy. What a weekend it was. The lanes were popping. Bunkhouse was filled with fun performances, and the Anvil parking lot was buzzing. Rodeo weekend showed up exactly the way this community always does. Loud, joyful, and connected. It was incredible bringing more of the Gay PHX music directly to the community. So many of you came up and asked what you were hearing, and we love telling you the truth. A lot of that music, you can only hear it right here on Gay PHX, and that's the whole point. We spotlight artists you won't hear anywhere else. We tell stories that don't get corporate airtime. This week, we're honoring Marsha P. Johnson, a Black trans woman, an activist, a performer, a central figure in the Stonewall Uprising. Long before Pride was branded and sponsored, Marsha was on the front lines protecting queer and trans youth and helping create housing and safety when no one else would. When asked what the P stood for, she said it meant pay it no mind. That energy, living authentically, loving boldly, refusing to shrink, is something you're going to hear echoed in today's conversation. You're going to hear from Amber Love, a queer wedding officiant, writer, and published poet who believes ceremonies should never ask couples to edit themselves. She talks about helping couples feel celebrated, not just tolerated, about making weddings feel like home, about adding humor, heritage, hand fasting, jumping the broom, whatever it takes to make the day truly theirs. And before we even get there, we've got to say something important. Amber and her partner just celebrated 10 years together. 10 years of choosing each other, 10 years of building a life, 10 years of living that authenticity she now helps other couples celebrate. Congratulations to you both. Now, if you're wondering where to head this week and what rooms need your energy, hey, Brian, take it away.
You're listening to Gay PHX, where community comes first.
Hey, it's your Desert Den Daddy, Brian. If you're not strapping on your harness and heading to the International Bear Convergence in Palm Springs the week of the 16th, don't panic, because while the Desert Daddies are descending on IBC, I still got heat for you right here at home. This is Brian Sot 3, your glitter-coated, growl-approved guide to staying social and staying sexy and staying connected in Phoenix. And yes, those tickets we've been teasing, they were for the International Bear Convergence in Palm Springs. Fur, pool parties, DJs, and more body hair than a shampoo commercial. If you won, congratulations. If you didn't, Daddy still has plenty for you. Let's get into it. Hot pick number one, Traders Viewing Party. February 19th from 7 to 8 p.m. And this will be at Cobalt. Everyone is suspect every Thursday at 7 p.m. Join your friends, faithful, and suspects for the Traders Viewing Party at Cobalt. The faithful contestants must identify and banish the traitors, while the traitors must eliminate the faithfuls through murders at night and to steal the entire prize. Your host will be Kim Etiquette. Hot pick number two, Ripple PHX Center. They're having their game night. There it's going to be February 21st from 5 to 10. It's free food, games, raffle, and free HIV testing. This is community with intention. You get laughter, connection, and a kind of energy that reminds you why chosen family matters. Ripple PHX continues doing the work that keeps our community informed, supported, and healthy. And this night blends fun with care. Show up hungry, leave empowered, that's how we do it. Hot pick number three, first annual Euchre Tournament at Oz Bar. February 21st from 2 to 5, teams of two, $10 buy-in, bar match pot. Cards are on the table, stakes just high enough to keep it interesting. Half the proceeds benefit on Rita's AIDS Walk, so you're not playing for bragging rights, you're playing with purpose. Jello shots will be making the rounds, there's a TV raffle in play, and someone walking out victorious. If you don't know Euchre, learn it. If you do, bring your sharpest partner and your best bluff face. Bonus round. Arizona Renaissance Festival, now through March 29th. It includes weekends only and President's Day, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and it's at Gold Canyon. 16 stages, 50 acres, over 200 artisans, corsets, knights, turkey legs, and theatrical chaos. It's camp before camp was cool. And on March 14th, show your support by wearing a red shirt. Because whether you're leather, lace, or somewhere deliciously in between, commitment to the aesthetics matters. We want to do special congratulations. We send out a huge congratulations to Peter Urbanek for being one of Gay PHX winners. Peter, you showed up, you stayed engaged, and now you're headed to the IBC Palm Springs. That's how community energy turns into real rewards. We love seeing our people win. From the shadows of the radio towers, I'm your Desert Den Daddy Brian, reminding you that this week isn't about surviving the calendar. It's about finding joy, connection, kink, care, and community exactly where it belongs. For everyone listening who needs a little extra love right now, take mine. You are not alone, you matter, and there's a seat for you at every one of these events. We don't have a transmitter, we don't have a big broadcast tower humming in the desert, but we do have you, and that means everything. Until next time, coming to you from the shadows of the radio tower, I'm Brian, your Desert Den Daddy, and that's what's hot.
Want all the details? Head over to GayPHX.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the valley.
This is what community sounds like.
This is Amanda Renfrew, enrolled agent with The Tax Person, with your tax year countdown. Most FSA balances expire at year end. Use remaining funds for therapy, glasses, dental care, or prescriptions before they disappear on December 31st. Get support with a free 15-minute consult at thetaxperson.com or look for me as The Tax Person on socials.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the Gay PHX Podcast.
Today on Gay PHX, you're meeting someone who turned a major life shift into something rooted in love, intention, and visibility. She believes wedding ceremonies should never ask couples to shrink, edit, or explain themselves. They should reflect real values, real journeys, and real love exactly as it is. After years of helping others build careers, she's followed her own calling, using words, storytelling, and heart to help couples say, "I do," in a way that actually feels like them. She's proud to show up, proud to be visible, and passionate about creating ceremonies where every couple feels seen and celebrated. Let's welcome to the Rainbow Tinted Microphone, Amber Love. Thank you for joining me today, Amber.
Thank you so much for having me today, Billy.
So for people meeting you for the very first time, how do you describe who you are and what you do?
That's an excellent question, and I feel like you covered it all in the beginning, so there we go. No.
Ta-da!
nicely done. Thank you. I am a queer wedding officiant. I am a writer. I have two poems published. I'm an adventure seeker. I'm a foodie. I'm a wife. And honestly, I just love helping couples create ceremonies that feel like them. It has brought so much joy to my life to use my passion for writing by making a ceremony that honestly does couple justice.
Talking about ceremonies that reflect the couples, what does that look like when you start working with someone?
It really is similar to my role that I did for about 15 years in recruiting, getting to know someone. So it's really important to get to know the couples and understand their vision, what they've dreamed of for their wedding day, and just getting to know how they met, what their love story is, so that way I can create a ceremony script that is authentic to them and their story.
Now, how did that year, those 15 years in HR recruiting, shape how you listen to people today?
I feel like the probing technique, because sometimes it's really hard for people to open up and just share so much about how they met, and there's always the surface level, but really probing them to know a little bit more and probing them to understand how they connect on such a deeper level helps me really be genuine with their love. And I just love understanding not just their meeting story, but their journey and their views and their visions and their morals for the future. So just tying all that together is very similar to understanding someone's desire for a career and what they would be really good at too.
So now it seems like writing and storytelling play a big role in your ceremonies. Where does that passion come from?
When I was younger, I really just was fond of writing. I don't know exactly where it came from. I think back in the day, it came from a lot of sadness or the typical dating someone, breaking up, and so writing happy stories. And it really started there, and it always came from a sad place. But I think as I got older and started finding happiness in life, I have been able to expand and write about happy things, which honestly, I have so much passion for sharing stories that I'm glad it morphed into happiness.
Now, many couples worry about whether they'll truly feel safe or affirmed on their wedding day. How do you help create a sense of that?
Oh, that is very important. I want to honor couples in their authenticity. So it's, as a queer officiant, I definitely want couples to feel celebrated, not just tolerated. Their wedding should feel like home and definitely not like they're editing themselves or changing anything about who they are. So I want to make sure that I am sharing their story and everything about them authentically.
Now, how do you approach a ceremony for couples that have chosen family, blended families, or like complicated dynamics?
There have been a lot of scenarios like that. And some of them have even shared with me that they have a strategy in place in case somebody needs to leave. And it's always really heartbreaking to hear that for their special day, they're having to think about those things, right? But what I like to do is just make sure that they know I'm there for them and they're going to be safe with me. They can share those things with me and I'm going to support them and do what I can to advocate for, again, them being able to be authentic.
And what's one thing that you wish couples knew before they started planning this ceremony?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I think really they just need to not worry so much about maybe other ceremonies they've seen or how other people have done it. You can break tradition. You can do it any which way you want. It doesn't have to be a script or an outline like you've seen before. Just do it however you want. Make it fun. I honestly like to have a lot of fun. If a couple is okay with that, I have some humor in my script. I always try to add that in there, but I don't think there's really a right or wrong way to do it. Just make it yours. Make it what you envision your day to be and how you want to celebrate your love.
Now, as a queer wedding professional, what do you think matters most right now in the wedding industry?
I think couples do need to feel safe and feel like whoever is representing them and telling their story is going to do it in a way that is genuinely about them and that you genuinely care about them. No matter if you're the officiant, if you're the photographer, you're trying to put them in the best light possible. So I think those things are going to be really important as couples are seeking out whoever it is that they're hiring to be part of their special day.
Can you share a moment from a ceremony that reminded you of why you do this path, why you chose to do this?
Sure. I had a couple that decided to do something that was unique to me, and it was a hand tying ceremony, and it was amazing. I found this beautiful poem online. I can't take credit for that, even though I write poetry. And it was just so sentimental to be part of adding in something that was very sentimental to them, right? Because it was part of their heritage. And I just absolutely loved being trusted to do something like that for this couple on their day.
That's awesome. Now, have you done intimate work in big celebrations?
Absolutely. I have performed an elopement ceremony with only 1 week's notice. And I've also been part of several larger scale weddings, one at the Botanical Gardens, which was stunning. But yes, I have been part of multiple different types of ceremonies. And I have one coming up where they're going to jump the broom, which is new to me. That's going to be fun.
They're
going to,
wait, say that again? They're going to do what?
Jumping the broom. That's all I know right now. I have to do some work. I have to investigate exactly how I'm going to be part of that. But I'm very excited because it is part of their culture. So they want to make sure that that is included in their ceremony, along with a sand ceremony. And yes, I love when people get creative and want to add something new to their to their day, whether it be during the ceremony or even after. One couple actually specifically wanted something very unique where they didn't do their vows during the ceremony. So that was fun to talk about that during the ceremony and share why they were doing it differently. And then another couple wanted the signing to be part of their ceremony as well. So that was different, right? Not a lot of people do it traditionally that way. So yeah, I love to entertain whatever it is that the couple envisions and make their dreams come true.
What are some of the most unique things that you've been asked to learn or do?
Most of them have been a little more traditional, but the hand fasting and the jumping the broom, those are definitely more unique and different. Both of which, though, I'm super excited to continue forward with the hand fasting. As far as that poem, it ended up being something that I would offer all of my couples to use in their ceremony because it's just so beautiful.
I'm looking up jumping the broom because I have to know what this is. I'm completely fascinated.
I haven't done my research just yet on that.
Okay, so according to the Google, no, disclaimer, this is Google's results, so this is wrong. Jumping the broom is a symbolic ritual in some African-American weddings where couples jump over a broom after exchanging vows, representing a leap into a new life, sweeping away the past and honoring ancestors who were denied legal marriage during slavery. Oh, wow. The broom symbolizes home, unity, and creating a new household, with jumping signifying the commitment of facing life's challenges together of a shared life. That's beautiful. That's amazing.
That is fantastic. I'm even more connected to this couple. I am so excited for them.
Very cool. Now, what advice would you give LGBTQ couples who might be feeling nervous about putting themselves fully out there?
Oh, I don't know if I have advice. I feel that we all should aim to be living our authentic selves. So if you're getting married and you want to be represented, then follow your heart and allow yourself that for your ceremony.
Have you ever experienced, like, for example, the overbearing mother, I'll say in a generic term here, where someone wants to take control of a situation and they make it their ceremony versus the couple's? And if so, do you help point that out? Does that ever happen?
I have not seen that too much. The only thing I've seen is a poor bride was mortified because she didn't actually want her ceremony to be recorded by video. And a family member decided to set up a video camera and record it. And I feel like she was very nervous and obviously pretty upset that was happening. And then she didn't necessarily want to say anything. I asked her if she wanted me to say something and try to change the scenario, but she didn't. And she just surrendered and went ahead and let them do their thing. Mm. But she even says to this day, she's never watched that video.
Because she didn't want it.
Yeah, she didn't want it. And it was very awkward for her. And it was her in-laws, future in-laws. So yeah, I felt really bad for that scenario, but
she was playing politics with her wedding. I hate that. You shouldn't have to do that for your wedding.
You should not. Literally, you should not.
When couples walk away from a ceremony you've created, how do you hope that they feel?
Oh, I hope that they feel that I did everything right for them and that I just added some magic to their day by honoring their love story and sharing that with their loved ones that were there to support them and that are going to be on the journey with them for the rest of their lives.
So now I'm going to pivot a little here. This is going to be, you were impacted by workforce reduction. It can shake anybody's confidence. Happened to myself. It's happened to hundreds of thousands of Americans across the country right now. What helped you see that this was the moment to be a turning point instead of a setback?
I think because I had been performing weddings for the last year on top of or during the time that I was working, So it just made sense to pivot and say, wow, I can finally spend some time actually pursuing my passion. And what better opportunity to be free from the chains of corporate America to get to do something that I actually love. And I just haven't let it get me down, because performing weddings is honestly better than any recruiting job will ever be. So it's a win-win. Nothing is bad about it.
And I have to say, you are an inspirational story. Again, much the same is happening here. I was released of corporate duties, and I've decided to focus on the station and building this for the community, so we can relate that we're going through some of those same kind of things. So thank you. Now, where can people connect with you and learn more about Hearts Aligned?
Oh, thank you so much as well, Billy. I am so thankful that you're out here doing what you're doing for our community and making sure people don't feel alone and that they know we are connected and we are here and there's people out here supporting them. But where you can find me is, of course, Facebook and Instagram, Hearts Aligned by Amber Love. And also you can email me at heartsalignedbyamberlove@gmail.com. And I can't wait to meet more couples.
Excellent. Amber, thank you so very much for joining me today.
Thank you, Billy. I really appreciate you.
Another reason we love this community.
I'm Daddy Dave, your friend in the fight to end stigma. And I'm the founder of Team Friendly, here today to talk about
anal pap exams. Let's talk anal cancer. Early detection saves lives. Anal pap smears are a simple screening tool that can find abnormal cells before they become cancer. Gay men and trans women are at a higher risk for anal cancer, especially people living with HIV. HIV can make it harder for the body to clear HPV, the virus that causes most anal cancers, which means regular screening is even that much more important for many of us. An anal pap smear is quick, usually painless, especially if you relax, and can be life-saving. Talk to your healthcare provider about whether an anal cancer screening is right for you. Taking care of your sexual health is an act of self-respect and self-love.
Pride lives here.
Huge thank you to our guest today, Amber Love, for sharing her heart, her story, and the work she's building in our community. Amber, congratulations to you and your partner for celebrating 10 years together. That kind of love, steady, joyful, real, is something that we honor. And thank you for using your voice and your writing to help other couples feel celebrated, not just tolerated. That really matters. We also want to give a special shout out to the Desert Valley Squares. We did a quick drop by and said hello this week, and we were welcomed with open arms. Truly, the energy in the room was incredible, and congratulations on launching your largest starting class ever of 31 people. 31. That's growth. That's momentum. That's community showing up, and we hope it keeps growing every single season, because spaces like that are exactly what keeps this fabric strong. To everyone listening, if you're building something, if you have a story to tell, if you're creating space for our community in any way, we'd love to have you on. Visit gayphx.com/book, B-O-O-K, to get on the calendar. Let's amplify what you're doing. We don't have a transmitter. We don't have a big broadcast tower humming in the desert, but what we do have is you. And that means everything. Thanks for keeping us in your ears. Thanks for being a part of this. We love you, Phoenix.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX podcast.
Be kind.
Be bold.
Be you.